It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
More protests in Athens, and we'll talk to someone in the middle of it all.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Police and demonstrators are clashing on the streets of Athens today, with law enforcement firing tear gas to break up tens of thousands of protesters who are outside the parliament. There's a strike today in Greece of doctors, tax collectors, even bakers, protesting more big pay and pension cuts passed by the Greek government. One of those protesters on the streets of Athens right now is Theodora Economidis, and she's with us now from Central Athens. Hi, Theodora.
Hello.
Why are you protesting today?
I'm protesting today because the government is about to push through Parliament a new package of austerity measures. And to me, these austerity measures are the straw that breaks the camel's back. It has been very painful for Greek society, much more painful than what you would normally hear. For me personally, it has meant, first of all, that I've been unemployed for a year and a half, even though I'm a very educated and qualified person, because there are no jobs. But further than that, what this means to me is that I am watching Greek society fall apart.
What's the alternative for the Greek government if they have to cut, you know, to appease the European bailout fund?
As I see it, the Greek government does not answer to the rest of Europe or to the International Monetary Fund. The Greek government answers to the Greek people, because without us, these people would not be a government. So the alternative for them is to reject austerity, to explain to the European Union that Greek society cannot take more austerity without a full-blown social explosion, that they need to find a structural solution to the problems of the euro, because this crisis is not only a crisis for Greece. Greece is the symptom of a crisis which is linked to the structural problems of the euro.
Theodora Economidis, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
European leaders are scrambling this week to rescue the eurozone, besieged by huge debt, not only in Greece, but also Spain, whose credit rating was downgraded by Moody's. And now a new economics prize announced today asks for the best plan to break up the troubled euro. The top prize, $400,000. Christopher Worth has more from London.
A member of Britain's House of Lords is looking for ways to put the eurozone out of its misery, even though the UK is not a member of the common currency. Simon Wolfson is the chief executive of the British clothing chain Next, and he's put his own money on the line to entice the likes of big-name economists like Joseph Stiglitz, Paul Krugman, and others to put their thinking caps on and consider how the eurozone might be broken apart in an orderly way.
What I'm hoping for is that we do get the world's best and brightest academics, economic academics, really thinking about this issue and coming up with some good answers.
For example, if Greece were to leave the eurozone, what would happen to everyone's mortgages, denominated in euros but held by banks in France or Germany? The prize could draw at least a few takers. Organizers claim it's the second largest prize in economics behind the Nobel Prize. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares are mostly higher right now across the globe. European markets are up more than 1%. Computer chip maker Intel reported better than expected profits of $3.5 billion in the last quarter. Apple reported a more than $6.5 billion profit, but its earnings missed expectations. Shares are off more than 5%, by the way, for Apple in pre-market trading. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 180 points to end the day at 11,577.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., allianzusa.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
AMR Corporation, that's the company that owns American Airlines, announces its third quarter earnings today. Most major U.S. carriers, which are expected to report profits, are doing quite well. But American has a labor problem and a revenue problem, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Earlier this year, many U.S. airlines scaled back. Fewer flights, smaller planes. But American Airlines did the opposite. Analyst Bob McAdoo is with Avondale Partners. He says American continued to add routes to and from five big cities, including Los Angeles.
They were not the biggest in Los Angeles, but if they did this, then they could say they flew to more points out of Los Angeles than did United or did Southwest.
Starting in April, there were new flights from smaller cities like Boise, Albuquerque, and El Paso, niche markets that traditionally have been served by low-cost airlines.
I would describe it as risky, and I would describe it also as a probable money-losing endeavor.
That's analyst Hunter Kay with Wolf Trahan. He says American's decision to keep growing didn't really make sense. There was economic uncertainty. Fuel was super expensive.
The only way that airlines can really control their own fate to the extent that they can is by cutting capacity.
American Airlines went against that conventional wisdom, expanding its network to places like Oklahoma City and Tucson. Kay says the airline had a theory.
Those secondary cities are going to feed L.A., and American's hope is that they lose money taking a customer from Boise into L.A., and they make a lot more money taking them from L.A. to Tokyo.
But analysts aren't convinced that'll work. After all, how many Boiseans travel to Tokyo every week? And domestically, American Airlines has to compete with Southwest, known for its low prices and strong customer loyalty, on nine new routes. Traveler Travis Johnson says he flies Southwest out of LAX about six times a year, and he's not really interested in switching.
If they're going to the same place, I would choose Southwest.
Last week, American Airlines made a big announcement. It's cutting capacity by 3%, and it's going to retire several big planes. The carrier is hoping for a better fourth quarter. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, the Weather Channel is out with its list of the National Football League's worst weather cities. The cable network used a bunch of science and stuff, you know, meteorology, to score these cities: precipitation, average winds, temperatures. The runner-up was Cleveland, where the Browns play, right on the banks of Lake Erie. But the worst NFL weather city, according to the Weather Channel, is Buffalo, New York, whose Bills play at Ralph Wilson Stadium, also just a stone's throw from Lake Erie. Must be something about that lake. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Understanding what's really going on in this economy means knowing it goes way beyond the markets.
People who struggle early in bad jobs or in no jobs because of a weak economy never fully catch up.
So what you see here is a rift between, you know, the middle class that made it and the middle class that didn't.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Next time on Marketplace, the business news that makes it all make sense. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.